Travel has always taught me great lessons. Once again, I set off on another journey from Tehran with gusto. I have a long way ahead, 1,500 kilometers to get to my destination, the shores of the Persian Gulf in the south. But not exactly the coast and the sea. Rather, this is a trip to the depths of history, the history of Siraf. Hi, I'm Javad Gharayi, an Iran trotter who has traveled 1,500 kilometers from Tehran to the south of Bushehr province on the coast of the Persian Gulf to show you around the beautiful historical city of Siraf. Where I'm standing right now is 60 kilometers to the South Pars region. It's one of the technical and engineering feats of modern-day Iran. This is Siraf, a city lost in the pages of history, or should I say a city buried under the dust of time, a fine layer of dust accumulated over thousands of years. It's a city that remains unknown to many to this day. When they come here, they don't know if they should call it the Tahiri port or Siraf port. On this leg of my journey, I have decided to show what the good people of this land have been doing over the past thousands of years, masterpieces of a bygone era and of even today. The very beautiful and important Siraf port is located in Bushehr province, around 250 kilometers to the city of Bushehr in the central district of Kangan County. Siraf is around 40 kilometers to Asaluye County, but the best way to get to it is through Asaluye and no other. A long time ago, when I heard the word Asaluye, images of smog, gas pipeline, flare stacks of refineries would rush to my mind. But my trips to the region later on changed my mind forever. Around 20 years back, before the emergence of the oil and gas industries on the untouched lands of Asaluye and its surroundings, the area boasted curious yet beautiful constructions that, according to the experts, were between 1,000 and 3,000 years old. Handmade buildings and shapes that have remained a mystery to many historians and archaeologists. Founded in the 9th century, Siraf was considered Iran's most important commercial port and reached the acme of its activity during the Daylamites era. A small number of Iranians mistakenly refer to Siraf port as Tahiri port. The reason behind that common mistake is the beautiful Nasuri castle in the city of Siraf that belonged to the Tahiri dynasty. Siraf port has carried this name since recorded history. That's while the Tahiri dynasty lived here only around 200 years ago. This hole in the ground is called Khasr, if I'm not wrong. The locals here, the natives here, who by the way speak Arabic, refer to the hole they have dug here as Hasr. The inside looks like it was made with the same material used in making urns. I'm not sure, though. It looks like they placed a big urn in the ground and emptied out the earth around it, so that when it rains here in the winter, the rainwater fills up this hole. When the hole is full, they cover it with rocks. In the summer, if someone happens to come to this area and happens to run out or short of water for whatever reason, they can drink from this water. It doesn't rain much on this plain in the summer, and it gets really hot and humid. That's when this water can really come in handy. Before traveling to Siraf, I spent time studying up on this unique ancient port. During my research, I came across things that helped me make up my mind about exploring Siraf. Of course, not in the summer. Siraf was home to 300,000 people during the reign of the Parthian Empire. Most of its opulent, magnificent palatial houses were made of saruj. Perhaps it was the first city to ever have a sewage system. Unfortunately, a powerful earthquake around 1,000 years ago almost reduced this thriving port and the city to rubble. After the quake, Siraf never managed to restore itself to its former glory. The Templar sent part of the city underwater and left it buried there once and for all. As a result of the destruction caused by that natural disaster, commercial vessels were not able to dock at the port anymore. The prosperous Siraf of that time, with its huge population at the time and the massive commercial ships that docked on its shore, was located in a part of Iran where it always had to grapple with a constant shortage of drinking water. With its blazing temperatures, scarce rainfall, and distance from the high Zagros Mountains, the south of Bushehr province did not have much water. Therefore, it was no doubt not an appropriate place for even 3,000 people to live in, let alone 300,000. The most important driver of prosperity and fortune anywhere in the world is good climatic conditions. The weather in Siraf is very hot in the spring, summer, and early fall. The only reason behind the city's prosperity in the past was its many water wells and cisterns dug out by the hard-working men and women of that time. Ancient Sirafis discovered a very innovative way of dealing with the problem of water. Apparently, they removed earth from large expanses of the mountains down to a hard, rocky layer. Most of the earth in this area of the mountain was removed for the purpose of building wells and traditional water reservoirs. This stone wall here shows how much excavation was done in this area. After that, they painstakingly dug out holes as deep as 2 meters all along the rocky surface at the foot of the mountains surrounding the city. The purpose was to trap and preserve what little rainwater that came down during the rainy season. The rectangular pits in the mountains of Siraf look like graves. At first glance, this part of the mountain looks like a strange cemetery made for thousands of humans to be buried in. Many in the past believed that these pits were indeed graves to bury the dead in. But from what I see here, most of them have nothing to do with graves. And I'm saying that because they aren't the right depth, width, or length. Also, the people of that time couldn't have buried their dead right next to their drinking water reservoirs and cisterns, because that would have contaminated the water beyond measure. Back then, Islam hadn't been introduced into Iran, and there weren't graves that would have looked like these. Oftentimes, they would lay their dead to rest in that valley by the name of Lir. There are many of these burial places there, and to do so, they dug those holes, which they referred to as ostudans. It must have taken a certain amount of genius to think of and build these cisterns, hollowing out the mountainside, possibly to make it less steep in order to create these rectangular pits, speaks volumes about the ingenuity of the architects and people of Siraf. They engineered a special system for managing the water so it would flow down to the foot of the mountain near the city of Siraf without any of it sinking into the ground along the way. In the words of researchers, apparently some of these cisterns were inevitably used as graves in the wake of the powerful quake that jolted the city many years ago. This column here apparently had a special application. It was very likely used as a burial place at the time. There is a recess in it, dug very neatly, a neat cubic shape. Let's get inside and see what it looks like. You can still see chisel marks. Those who hollowed out this column to make it look like this must have used chisels. You can vividly see their marks on the walls and roof of this quarry grave. I see two graves here. Obviously, around here, near the top, they carved out grooves where they fitted the gravestones. A gravestone from those days is still here. What is clear is that, most probably, those two graves belong to a man and his wife. Two graves dug right next to each other in this column. In my opinion, they did a fine job of digging them. Without a doubt, around 2,000 years ago, people needed a proper way to get access to the wells and cisterns in the mountains of Siraf, so they wouldn't run into any problems carrying large vessels full of water down this rough mountain path. To that end, the architects and engineers at the time created these 40 to 60 centimeter long steps for everyone, young and old, to be able to easily carry water from here all the way down. Very ingenious of them. Before and after the emergence of Islam, Siraf Port was one of the most important geopolitical regions of the Persian Gulf. The large number of old coins from different countries found here indicates the city's strong commercial ties with the rest of the world at that time. This vast network included countries as far as China in the east and Spain in the west. The main occupation of Siraf's indigenous population was seamanship and trade. Sirafi captains and sailors were known to all. They were adept in recognizing the different bodies of water and communicating with people of other nationalities. Numerous people from different countries and completely different cultures came here all the time. As a result, Siraf was home to people of different faiths such as Zoroastrianism, Judaism and Christianity, living together in peace. The introduction of Islam to Iran only added to the variety of the religions in Siraf. Since people of different religious and cultural backgrounds lived here together peacefully, many consider Siraf as the place for a dialogue among civilizations. Thank you. The discovery of coins from Spain, Oman, Zanzibar, China, India, and the Byzantine Empire, and from other countries, speaks to the importance of Siraf in its own time. A city that, in the words of historians and researchers, supplied a huge market around 1500 years ago. It was home to the first Achaemenid bank. It was a place for the transfer and exchange of the currencies of that time. The remains of the Achaemenid bank here indicate the extent of Iran's relations with the superpowers of the time. As a commercial hub with strong ties with the rest of the world, Siraf enjoyed all-out prosperity. It was a source of pride for Iran in terms of science, culture, and art. In the words of researchers and according to historical evidence, more than 100 syntacticians, jurisprudents, mathematicians, and physicians from this port were busy teaching and doing research in world scientific circles in such places in Baghdad and the Levant and in those inside Iran. Now, was the water in these pits, probably a little over 5,000 in number, enough for Siraf's large population and for supplying foreign and Iranian ships for their long voyages? The answer to that question is negative. The infrequent precipitation in this hot and dry region was barely enough for half of the population of Siraf, much less sell it to seagoing merchant ships. The question is, how did the large population of Siraf make sure they had enough water to drink all year round, and even sell their excess water to large commercial ships? I found my answer in the depths of tens of deep wells dug into the mountains. Around 150 deep wells were dug in the greater Siraf around 1500 years ago. Those wells acted as buffers against the shortage of water and the threat of running out of it in those years. The wells are artistic, architectural, and economic wonders in their own right. Of the about 150 wells discovered in Siraf, in this beautiful mountainous area, around, if I'm not wrong, around 50 of them still have water in them. The wells here are very deep. They go down 140 to 150 meters. Digging them in a rocky area like this in the mountains must have been a Herculean task at that time. They used these wells only when it didn't rain much or during droughts, because the thousands of rectangular cisterns strewn in this whole area would trap enough water during the rainy seasons, which, as I said earlier, were winter and spring, to supply this whole area. But these wells, when it didn't rain here at all, like in the summer, late spring and early fall, the water in these wells would save the lives of the inhabitants. Of course, they weren't the only ones drinking from the water in these wells. People who came here from far and wide, as far away as Africa and China, whose ships would dock at Siraf port, they too would benefit from the water from these wells. Sirafis would sell them water so they could continue with their long voyages. I have seen many wells in this area, but this one is so different. It looks like a perfect rectangle all the way down. And it's very narrow too. I can't imagine how they managed to dig something like this all the way down there. How did they transfer the dirt and rocks out as they dug their way down? But what is clear is that this well is most probably 140 or 150 meters deep. It's stunning. They also carved out footholds on the walls of the well so they could climb up and down easily. It looks like they didn't have much use for pulleys, ropes, and things like that to get down there, because I can see footholds as far down as I can see. That must have been how they went up and down this well. It's very deep.
وای خدای من نگاه کنید چقدر زیبا و به
Oh my God, look how beautifully they removed the dirt around this well. They did it so they wouldn't have to place a kapar around the opening of the well. They used the rocky formations in the area to protect the mouth of the well. Those ancient artisans really knew what they were doing. There are many wells in this area in addition to the many cisterns. Apparently, some 5,000 cisterns have been discovered here so far. That figure does not include the many others that were destroyed over the course of time. But I don't know if they had anyone watching over these wells and traditional reservoirs back then. They dug into the mountainside here, apparently, and carved out a big chamber with very interesting ledges. It's very likely that this was where the guard who protected this whole area resided. This handmade cave probably belonged to the Mihrab, or the water administrator in ancient Siraf. The Mihrab lived here, protected the water reservoirs, and made sure everyone got an equal share of the water. Lost in my thoughts about the wisdom of the ancient people of Siraf, I cross a bridge that connects two mountain heights at the foot. As I do so, I set eyes on strange niches on the walls of the valley ahead. Before I came to this area, my good friend Mohammad Kangani told me a few things about the Lir Valley. One of those things was the niches in the walls of the valley. Mohammad Kangani is one of the avid researchers of Siraf. He has spent much of his life studying, researching, and introducing ancient Siraf to enthusiasts inside Iran and beyond. He has also set up a small museum in the city.
آموزش از درون مدارس ابتدایی راهنمایی چه آموزش حفظ محیط زیست، حفظ آثار فرهنگی، توجه به آثار فرهنگی و میراث فرهنگی اینا معرفی آثار به بچه ها که اینا خودشون میتونن یه سفیری باشن هر جو میرن
یعنی خودشون رو صاحب این تاریخ و فرهنگ و اقلیم و طبیعت این کشور بدونن
هر جا هم میرن نشون بدن، نشون میدن که مثلا ما از نقطه اومدیم که اثبات حقانیت خلیج فارس سیراف.
The remains of the city, including the bank and bazaar of ancient Siraf, as well as the wells, the cisterns, and the temple in the mountains, made everything clear for me. But the one place that people around the world all respect in the name of humanity is cemeteries. The only place left for me to see that was proof of life and economic prosperity in ancient Siraf was a very old cemetery. The Lir Valley houses one of the cemeteries of Siraf. Contrary to ordinary cemeteries, the graves here aren't on the bottom of the valley. Before the introduction of Islam to Siraf, most of the inhabitants of this land were followers of the Zoroastrian faith. By religion, they wouldn't bury their dead. They call each of these niches in the walls of this valley Ustadan, or a place for storing bones. Back then, when they hadn't started burying their dead underground, they placed the remains of their dead or even their bones here to decompose over the course of time.
داخل این استودان ها برای قرار دادن حتی چهار جسد تو بعضی از این استودان ها جا هست و جا تعیین.
In some of these ostodans there is enough room for placing up to four bodies. Others are very small. They can only accommodate the remains of a child perhaps.
داخل کوه رو کندن. و این نشون دهنده اینه که
what they did was they looked for the right spots on the walls of the valley and dug horizontally as much as they could to make room for as many bodies as possible.
تا اونجایی که امکان داشت داخل اون حفره رو می‌کندن تا جسدهای بیشتری رو بتونن قرار بدن.
There is a theory that maintains these alcoves may have been where they put the elderly. They would put the elderly or terminal patients with enough sustenance and left them there to expire. But for someone who knows the Iranian temperament well, that notion is simply unthinkable. Historians speak of ancient Sirafis as people of wealth and of a rich culture and civilization. Therefore, ancient Sirafis would no doubt pay great homage to the elderly, who were most probably senior members of their own families. So there wouldn't have been a reason for them to banish their elders to live in such tough conditions in mountainside alcoves. Without a doubt, something like that would have been considered a form of torture or even murder. The big houses and the culture and wealth of the people of Siraf could not possibly have allowed something like that. Most researchers believe these niches in the walls of the valley are nothing but graves that ancient Sirafis used to place the remains of their dead in. Graves dug into the walls of the valley to protect the remains against wild animals and floods. These graves were called Gurdakhmez, or Towers of Silence.
اینجا اعماق دره لیره، دره ای که تقریبا میشه گفت گورستان باستانی منطقه سیراف در اینجا قرار داره. تو دیواره های این دره
This is the bottom of the Lir Valley. You could say it houses Siraf's ancient cemetery. The walls of this valley are riddled with graves that go back 1500 to 2000 or even 3000 years ago. They're full of the bones of those who inhabited this area thousands of years ago. This Ostudan, for example, is full of those bones. I don't know when exactly they lived in this area or how much of life in Siraf they experienced.
سنگ‌هایی که اینجا ریخته شده، سنگ‌های خیلی بزرگی که اینجا ریخته شده، قسمتی از دیوارهای این دره است.
The rocks you see here, these boulders stacked up over here, used to form part of this massive wall behind me. In these rocks, I can see the cave-like formations that used to be cisterns on top of the Siraf mountain. Unfortunately, this region's climate is really causing the traditional reservoirs here, these man-made constructions that are centuries old, to be eroded away much faster than those in other areas with less extreme climatic conditions. Many of the holes, catacombs, and ostudans have all been destroyed by landslides, torrential rains, and flooding in the area over the years. Nonetheless, many catacombs, wells, and cisterns have survived to this day, which can be preserved and introduced to others so they can learn about the architecture, the culture and history of our ancestors. With many of these catacombs, what they did was they would wall off their entrances after putting the remains of the dead in them. Look, you can still see the frame at the mouth of this one here. They used stones and saruj to block off the entrance to this grave to prevent anyone from trying to touch them or to prevent wild animals from accessing the bodies inside and harming them. I left the Lir Valley with all of its human bones and mysterious history. The very rich culture and history of Siraf is rife with creativity, art and prudence. I am filled with utmost respect for my ancestors' construction abilities and their persistence against the odds. I pride myself on their prudence and perseverance. I have many unanswered questions about Siraf, but there is no one to answer them for me. But what I am sure about is the intelligence and creativity of the people of Siraf 1500 years ago. I hope from the bottom of my heart that the environment in the vicinity of Siraf city remains as it is forever. But things are completely different. The massive South Pars oil and gas field has brought prosperity back to the region after more than 1,000 years. No one in the region is out of work. You'd be hard-pressed to see anyone on the streets of the city during the day. They are all working on the South Pars field or at companies affiliated to it. People come to work in Asaluya from far and wide and are busy making an honest living. The invaluable historical constructions of Siraf are under attack by unbridled development and have still not been listed as a World Heritage Site. However, I'm very hopeful that UNESCO would put this masterpiece of ancient Iran on its list. Where do you think I'm standing? The Khumbuk Glacier in the Himalayas or the cold glaciers of Mount Damavand? This huge brown-white patch I'm standing on isn't a glacier or lava from a volcanic eruption. You may not believe this, but I'm standing smack in the middle of a huge river of salt, a river that was created over millions of years by rainwater washing down the Jawshank Salt Dome and itself bringing about this gargantuan salt pit. On the next leg of my trip to Bushehr, the kind people of the region recommended that I pay a visit to a beautiful and bizarre mountain in the region, the Jawshank Salt Dome. This lofty salt mountain is a unique sight to see. Jawshank is a mountain of salt with ravines that have water with high concentrations of salt flowing in them. The Mond River, also known in English as the Mand River, runs through Fars province and Bushehr province in southwestern Iran, flowing to the Persian Gulf. When it arrives at the Jawshank Salt Dome, it goes completely salty, so salty that almost no living being can drink it. And it's the same inside the Jawshank Dome as well, meaning in all the deep and dangerous ravines in this area, there are multiple springs, especially during the rainy season. When the water from those springs flows here, it creates very beautiful salt crystals on its way, as you can see here, and creates such a beautiful landscape in this area. Jawshank is one of Iran's very valuable natural attractions located in Bushehr province. Salt potholes, small salt caves, salt towers, and waterfalls are among the beauties of this incomparable mountain. The scenery in the Jawshank Salt Dome is spectacular in the true sense of the word. There isn't a scrap of rubbish or a sign or road in the whole area. Its pristineness makes it all the more attractive. These salt minarets have very beautiful shapes. That's because rainwater washes away all those deposits in the cracks in the salt rocks, leaving these shapes and colors in its wake. They are amazing. This is one of the most beautiful spots in the natural environment of Bushehr province, the Joshak Salt Dome.
دیگه بیشتر از این نمیتونم وارد غار بشم به خاطر اینکه خیلی دهانش
I can't go any further in this cave because it is very wide and has a high ceiling at the entrance, but as you move further inside it, it gets too narrow to proceed in. I'm going to need a helmet and proper spelunking gear. This stalagmites and stalactites that you see here and there are all over the place. They are all made of salt. The salt deposits and the water dripping from the ceiling have created these beautiful shapes. In some places, they look like cauliflower, both on the floor and on the walls of the cave. The most important thing we have to remember when we step into such a beautiful place is that we should only take pictures or feast our eyes on what we see here and leave without doing any damage whatsoever to these beautiful salt formations, without breaking off any of these stalagmites or stalactites and take it home with us. We shouldn't make changes to the place we are visiting and should leave without leaving behind a single trace of ourselves.
بهترین کار اینه که هیچ آسیبی به اینجا وارد نشه و بدون کوچکترین تغییری در محیط زیستی که وارد میشیم اونجا رو ترک بکنیم بدون اینکه کوچکترین اثری از خودمون به جا بگذاریم
Thank you.
Fortunately, the informed, nature-loving individuals who have traveled to this area before were completely aware of their responsibility in relation to the environment. There are no writings on the walls or anywhere else in the caves. All the stalagmites and stalactites are intact and in their rightful places. Those nature travelers left Joshak without so much as make a dent in the salty formations here. Everything is as it should be for the future generations to see. I am basking in all the beauties of Bushehr province. The history and culture of the province, along with its beautiful and intact environment, preserved by the amicable and hospitable people of this land for future generations, is a striking museum of good deeds. I am in awe of the beauties in the southwest of my beloved country. It is difficult for me to leave behind all these beauties and all this kindness, but the fact is that my trip has come to an end. I have to return home and prepare for a trip to somewhere else in beautiful Iran. This is my homeland. I feel at home here no matter where I am, and I consider all its people as members of one big family. With a bag full of new experiences and memories, I leave Siraf with its beautiful environment and its rich history. And I do it without leaving behind any unfavorable trace of myself in the entire region.